There you got it. Do you know of any place that you'd rather be than to be here tonight in this assembly? Do you know of any people that you had rather be with than people like you that are here tonight? You are the type of people that I'm working for, that I'm planning on spend eternity in heaven with one day. I don't know of anyone, I can't think of any group of people that I had rather be with than people just like you. We work hard to try to prepare ourselves so that when this life is over, when the judgment day comes, that we will be ready to spend eternity with folks just like I hope that's here tonight. Enjoyed the song service tonight. I wish I could have helped more in it. And Bill, I certainly appreciated the good prayer, especially the part on my behalf. Hopefully that we can add to something that we've had here already tonight and add even more to it. You may have heard the statement made, probably all of us have sometime in our life, I just can't seem to get anything out of my day anymore. It seems like that time I get up and move around a little and turn around a time or two, the day has passed, it's gone, I haven't accomplished anything. In the book of Philippians, chapter 4 and verse 6, it says here to be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Supplication here meaning humble. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Maybe perhaps we don't let our request be made known unto God as much as maybe perhaps we should. Maybe when we start to plan our day, we should first go to God and ask Him to help us in planning our day and then help us to carry out our daily activities. To get more out of our days, I would think that we need to set our priorities straight. A part of setting good time goals involves thinking out our priorities. What is most important? What do I need to do first? To line up your priorities, some kind of a system should be used to line it up. In lining up our priorities, one way we could do is to write down the things that we need to do today, this week, this month, this year. We might look at that list then and see that some of these things must be done today. We might continue to look at that list and see that some of these things can be put off to tomorrow or some other time. We might look at that list and see that some of these things need doing, but it really doesn't matter when or if it's ever done. We might then look at the list and sometimes think that some of these things will never matter whether I do those things or not. If we don't set our priorities, then someone or something is going to set them for us. Someone or something is going to take up your time. It's going to take your day, your week, your month, and your year. It's going to be gone. And you're going to look back to the old saying, I turned around a few times and it's gone. I don't know what had happened. So in setting our priorities, I'd like to suggest three things. Put the most important things first. What would you say to you would be the most important things in your life as far as setting your priorities? I would like to suggest that we put God at the top of our very list of priorities. Now, when I say put God at the top, that's including Jesus Christ, His Son, the Holy Ghost, and the Church. These four, I'm including the four or as in one. Put these first at the top of our priority list. True time starts with seeking God first and setting our affections on things above. In the book of Matthew, chapter 6 and verse 33, it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." What things was he talking about? He's speaking about the necessary things of life. Not the things that we might want in life, but the necessary things. Food, clothing, shelter, the necessary things of life. If we put God first in our lives. And that we should do at all times. In the book of Colossians chapter 3 verses 1 and 2, said, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections or your mind on things above, not on things of the earth." I'm afraid that so many times, so many people have their minds on things of the earth more so than they do upon the things of God. An average person spends a very little time with their seeking God first and letting God dwell upon their minds. Now, one person or some people might say, "I don't have the time to do probably as you since you are retired." Maybe, perhaps not. Some people might say, and they do, "I still have to work for a living." Most people that work today, they average working about 40 hours a week and making a living. And brethren, that's very important. Because in the book of James, First Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, it said, "If any provide not for his own, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." So then we as husbands and fathers and heads of the house, and we are required by God then to make the living the breadwinner for our families, the head of the house. So then the average person then spends a very small amount of time in service in the religious activities. Because many of those that say, "I have to work, then I have to sleep about 8 hours a day, which is another 56 hours. Then they have to eat about 12 to 15 hours, and I don't have much time left." If we spend our time as three services a week at the church and services to the Lord, we're talking about 3 hours per week. 1 hour Sunday morning, 1 Sunday evening, 1 during the week, midweek service. If we spend these 3 hours a week in service to the Lord, that is good. Many people do not spend that many. Some people cannot spend some of those evening services because of having to make a living according to the work schedule. But if we spend that 3 hours a week, out of 168 hours a week, that is a very, very little time in service to the Lord to expect so much in return. I fully believe that each one that is here tonight, if you were not expecting to have a home in heaven, you would not be here tonight working and being here tonight and working for that goal. The purpose for being here to prepare ourselves or to keep ourselves prepared, if we have already prepared, keeping ourselves in shape and preparation for when we leave the walks of this life to have that home in heaven. We should never be too busy to serve God. We should never be too busy to try to give Him the praise and the glory that He so desperately should have. God is never too busy for us. He manages the whole world. Yet we of His children can go to Him in prayer. He is never too busy to hear our request when we go to Him in prayer. I didn't say that He would always answer. I said He would hear if we go to Him in the right manner. He will answer according to His will. According to whether or not we need it, according to whether or not it is His will to be so. In the book of Psalm chapter 46 and verse 10, the Bible says there to be still and know that I am God. Be still, take a moment to think and realize that there is a God, that He is in charge, and we are His children and we should obey His will as He has commanded us to do. Are all of our activities that scream for our time, are they important? Are all the activities that are screaming for us when maybe perhaps we should be in church service, are they important? Should we really examine our activities and see whether or not they are that important to keep us away from serving God? Remember the story in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 2, how the angel of the Lord spoke to Moses in the burning bush. As the bush burned with fire, but yet was not consumed. Are we missing then the burning bush by the things that we are doing in this life? Not taking time out to talk to God. I didn't say with God, I said to talk to God. We can always go to God in prayer at any time, regardless. That is one of the easiest things in worshiping God that a person can do, is go to God in prayer. It doesn't take any of your time away from whatever you're doing to pray to God. You can pray to God while you're working on your job. You can pray to God while you are riding down the road in your automobile. You can pray to God just about any time at any place without parting your lips, and yet God will still hear your prayer and answer accordingly to His will. We can take time, or we should not let our activities lead us to the point that we could not take time to help those that are lost. Help to save those that are lost. I didn't say to save those lost, because I can save no one. But we can point them to someone, to God, to Jesus Christ, that can save their soul. We should take time out of our busy life to point one that is lost, if they will allow it to be so. Point them to Jesus Christ. So then, I feel that it's very important, then, if we're to get more out of our day, to put God at the very top of our priority list. Second to what I have mentioned about God, His Son, the Holy Ghost, and the church, to be at the top of our priority list, to me, the next most important thing is our families. We don't have anything, I don't think, for a moment on this earth as precious and important to us as our family. Your wife, your husband, your children, your parents. A man once said that he had been around where there were a lot of people, as he had visited over the years. He had talked with a lot of people to what we say were on their dying bed. He said he had never heard a man make the statement, "I wish I had spent more time on my job." But he said so many times he had heard the statement made, "I wish I had spent more time with my family." Our families are so very important. Most of the time we don't realize just how important our families are, how precious they are to us. We should take the advantage of every opportunity that we have to realize and to spend time with our families. In the book of Luke chapter 12, beginning with verse 15 through 21, here's a story here that you have heard no telling how many times over from the pulpit, but I want us to hear it again tonight. Here's a story about a man that seemed like his priorities were not set as it should be. Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 15. "And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thy fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided. So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. Here was a man that God had blessed so much in this life. He had blessed the places he had to store his goods or his wealth. He had no more room where to bestow any more wealth that God had blessed him with. Yet he says, I still am greedy, I want more. I'm not satisfied with having all I'll ever need. I want more and more, I want a little more. I'll do whatever it takes to get a little more. This man said, I'll build greater barns and I'll put it in there, and then I'll have all of this for myself. The way that God had blessed him, surely he could have looked around. He could have found somebody somewhere that God did not bless as much as he had been blessed. Surely he could have looked around and found someone that he could have divided some of his substance, his wealth, with. But no, he said, I'm going to keep it for myself. I'm going to keep it all. So he thought. But God says, you don't know what you're even talking about. He said, this very night you're going to die. And then who will those things be? They would not be worth anything to you anymore, because you're going to have to give it up and leave it all for someone else. Who would those things be then? Certainly it would not be doing him any good. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 29, it said, but this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they which are wise be as though they have none. May I again say that our family is so precious to us. Our time with our spouses and our children are so very important. And such a short life here upon this earth if we spend all the time that we can with them. We can spend all the time that we possibly can with each other. And then, when one or the other is gone, it seems like we have had such a short life here upon this earth. Our children, if they're not already, will soon be gone. You that still have children at home. Very soon, it may seem like it's going to be a million years, but it won't. Very soon, your children are going to be gone. You and your husband, your wife, you're going to be left alone. A survey shows that the average father spends about 4 minutes a day teaching his children the right way about God and how to live in this world. Now that's an average, 4 minutes a day. Average fathers. This tells me that most fathers then do not spend any time at all whatsoever in trying to train their children in a way that God would have them to live. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, it says, their fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6 says, to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. Now, fathers, what would you think would be the very best way in training up a child in the way he should go? What do you think would be the best way in bringing up a child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? I would think that teaching your child is one of the great important things. Yes, it is. Teach him the way that God has commanded us and teach him to live by those commandments. The word of the mouth is very good, but the life that we live before them is far better. For instance, just say that I have a son that is 16. He just had his 16th birthday and we go out and buy him a nice shiny automobile. One that's a very powerful engine that's got the big lion roar when you crank the engine. Their speedometer registers about 140 and it's a beautiful car. We give the keys to the boy on his 16th birthday and say, now son, don't drive fast. This is a powerful automobile. Stay within the speed limits and you'll be safe. And that car will last you a long time. The son starts out obeying his parent just as he instructed him to do. Then one day the father says, son, let's go and take it out for a little spin. I haven't really had a chance to try the car out. So we get on the road and first thing you know, I'm driving like in a 55-mile zone. I'm driving 60, 70, 80, 90, 95. We pass a speed sign, and the boy glances at the side and see it says 55 miles an hour. He looks over at Dad, and he looks at the speed officer, and it's registered 95. Dad, you're running 45, 40, 45 over. What kind of expression do you think this putting on that child? When Dad next time says, son, don't drive, stay within the speed limit. It's just in one ear and out the other, even if it goes in. Maybe the next time the child then carries out the automobile on the spin. Maybe on the same road, he's running, he's going to try it out like Dad. I want to get the feel of it. He's running 60, 70, 80, 90, 95. He runs up on a curve. He's not as experienced a driver as Dad was. He goes around this curve, he loses control. You know the rest of the story. The father has no more son. Train up a child in the way it should go by living before that child the way that you want that child to live. It may not keep that child from committing sin every time, but I can assure you one thing, it'll ring in its ears every time that it does when it violates those rules. It'll make it harder for it to do it. It will not enjoy the pleasures of sin like it would if my dad and my mom hadn't taught me these ways. There was a girl that I once heard say that she could have been a lot more accepted in college had she drank the alcoholic beverages along with the other students. But she said, I didn't touch the stuff at all. If for no other reason, because my dad took such a firm stand against it. Thanks be to God for a dad, but let his children know that he takes a stand firm against those things that are sinful and wrong. Don't be ashamed to let your children know that you stand firm against the sinful things that God has commanded us that we should not do. David of old, he learned to develop. We all need to take time, especially as a young person, to develop. When David of old was a young person, he learned to use the sling. He learned to play on the harp. He learned how to use the bow and the arrow, the sling and the bow, as he was probably on the lonely hillside watching his daddy's flock of sheep. Jesus himself, he had to take time to develop. We know very little about Jesus' life from age 12 to about 30. Luke chapter 2 and verse 52 said that Jesus, he developed in wisdom, stature, and favor with God and man. So we all then, especially our young people, must have time to develop. And as they develop, may they develop in a way that God would have them to develop, in the way that he would have all of us to go. In the book of Mark, chapter 1, verses 40 through 45, we see a story here, another story that you have probably read over and over. Once more, it won't hurt to hear. Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 40. And there came a leper, speaking about Jesus, coming to Jesus. And there came a leper unto him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and said unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleanness those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places. And they came to him from every quarter. One might ask the question here, Jesus being God's son and having the power that he had to heal the sick, the leprosy, the blind, raise the dead, why did he say in verse 44 to go and show thyself to the priest and offer those things which Moses has commanded for this cleanliness? Simply because they were living under the Old Testament law at this time. They were living under the law of Moses and the law of the prophets at this particular time. The New Testament law had not come into effect. Jesus did his wonderful things that he did, But yet he did those things while he himself was living under the old law. So he said, go and show thyself to the priest and offer those things which Moses commanded. Jesus tried to keep a low profile, but he strictly commanded this man that he would go and tell no one. I can understand the man disobeying Jesus here on this command, because he was so thrilled, so happy to have this terrible disease cleansed from him, completely wiped the slate clean, as we might say. He was so proud and so happy, so glad that this had happened. He just within himself, as an average human being, he could not keep it within himself. He had to tell it. And wouldn't you and I also do the same thing? If either one of you or us, either one of us that are here tonight, if we had the dreaded disease that we know is to be cancer and our time is short, some Jesus were to be here in person and to heal us just like he did this man, we too would want to go everywhere and spread in the good news what the Lord had done for us. So did this man. I can understand this man, even though he disobeyed a commandment of our Lord. But he was so thrilled and so happy that this happened. There was so much work to be done. Jesus trying to keep a low profile. But at the same time, he and his disciples, they had to have a little rest, even though the power that they had, they still had to have a little rest. In the book of Mark, chapter 6, verses 30 and 31, it says here, and the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. My friend, it doesn't matter how good of a Christian you are. It doesn't matter how much you want to do or how much you have done and have planned to do for the Lord. Your body has got to have rest. You cannot work day and night, every day and night. If you do, you will not last very long. I knew a man back several years ago I worked with. We were working 8-hour shifts at that particular time, and there's many places short of help. And he would work 12 to 16 hours almost every day. Every day that they would allow it or ask him that, he would do. Yes, he made a lot of money. Paying overtime for all those hours, he did make a lot of money. But he died a very young life in his 50s. The man passed away from the walks of this life. Whether that was the cause of it, I do not know. But I know it did not help to lengthen his life by working so many hours, not having the rest that his body needed. A survey has shown that those that take a little time off from work, they are more productive than those that do not. So then people need to find something, and when I say this, I mean something that is not sinful. People need to find something that they can relax their tension to make them a more complete person. Now that's something, may I repeat, is not, I'm referring to something that is evil or something sinful. There's plenty of things that can make you relax and relieve your tension that is still scripturally and light in the sight of God. Some students in school or in college, they wait until the last day before a big test to begin to prepare for that test. If they would only spend 1 to 2 hours a day, they would be better prepared for that test when they get out of school than they would be probably better prepared for life. We want to master a craft or develop a skill. Maybe we just want to do more for God than we have ever done before in this life. By putting God at the very top of our priority list, I think we started off on the right foot. I fully believe then by putting our families next to that, we're still on the right foot. We do need to take time to develop. When one first becomes a child of God in the church, he doesn't then grow overnight. It takes time for him to develop into the leadership and the knowledge that he will have to need in this life. Maybe we want to get more out of life. Maybe we just want to do more than we have ever done before for our Lord. In closing, I'd like to read you an article that I found. There's no author's name to this, but I thought it was very well fittingly with the things that I had here tonight. I want to pass it on to you. The title of it is No Excuse Sunday. To make it possible for everyone to attend church services next Sunday, we are going to have a special No Excuse Sunday. Cots will be placed in the foyer for those who say Sunday is my only day to sleep in. Have you ever heard that before? There will be a special section in the lounge chairs who feel that our pews are too hard. Eye drops will be available for those with tired eyes from watching TV late Saturday night. We will have steel helmets for those who say the roof would cave in if I ever came to church. Blankets will be furnished for those who think the building is too cold, and fans for those who say it's too hot. Scorecards will be available for those who wish to list the hypocrites that are present. Have you ever heard that one? Relatives and friends will be in attendance for those who can't go to church and cook dinner too. We will distribute stamped out stewardship buttons for those who feel the church is always asking for money. One section near the window will be devoted to trees and grass for those who like to seek God in nature. Doctors and nurses came in handy. We had two in our congregation this morning that came in very handy. Doctors and nurses will be in attendance for those who plan to be sick on Sunday. We will provide hearing aids for those who can't hear the preacher, and cotton for those that say he's too loud. Thought you might like that. I want to pass it on to you. Thank you for your time, for listening, and for allowing me to be a part of your service tonight.